Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. And this is a very famous passage. And hopefully the Lord will speak to you and to me in a way that will uplift us and assure us of God's abiding presence with us. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The Gospel of the Lord. Be with us now as we share what we now believe. Would anyone like to begin this morning?
My thinking is if you just adhere to those two things, love your neighbor as yourself, etc., there's nothing else to be said. That's it. If you do that, then what comes after should be good. Mm-hmm. And that's really all I kind of get from it. It's just this, and that's a hard thing to do. It's a very hard thing to do.
Very but hard, anyhow. Yes. There?
I think it's rightly said it's the greatest commandment, but one of the most difficult things that I think to do, and this is why I think the Lord put it in there, because in the beginning when I heard it when I was very young, I said, "Love yourself." Because no one ever told me that in my whole life. They told me love everybody else, love God, but no one ever said love yourself. And so I think it should be underlined. And when I was a nurse psychotherapist, I realized all those clients I had. I don't think there was ever a client that I had or a person that we ever knew, Jen, that really came in and said, "Boy, you know, I'm feeling good today. I love myself." And the reason that I believe that we can't love ourselves is because we can't let go of the past. And maybe the Lord is saying what is important is now, and not what you did when you were 10 years old or what you did when you were 35 or what you did when you were 65. It's important what you do now, and loving yourself is the most important thing, because if you don't love yourself, if you don't love yourself, you cannot love anybody else.
Thank you, dear.
The world would be a very different place if people actually followed that. What trips us up a lot is what it doesn't say. And it doesn't say you have to agree with your neighbor. It simply says you have to love your neighbor. And when we don't agree, we don't love each other. And that's what we get tripped up with more than anything else.
Very good, Greg. Alan, you want
to? Louise said everything that I was going to. In a lot of my readings, in terms of the yin, the yang, the overall wholeness of it's true, accepting yourself, and every single day, every single moment is an opportunity, whether it's a challenge or whatever, to learn something about yourself and to accept and to love yourself. And it's only through that consciousness and sensitivity that I think we can feel what others, the way that we could love and help others too. It has to come from within first.
Yourself, right? Very good. Thank you, Alan. Yes, Leslie. We're coming.
The choir is speaking. It occurs to me that the tricky thing about loving the self is in a way is the same kind of thing with the neighbor, and that is that the human part of ourself is not that pretty most of the time. You know, it's the way where the mind goes and how we actually conduct ourselves frequently is a little less than standard, you know, at least from the God perspective. So the sense of, if I'm going to love myself, what am I actually loving? You know, I'm not loving the part that is constantly at odds with the world, it's constantly upset with the world, it's always finding the world is failing in some way. I think that, you know, the essence of self-love is a recognition of our true nature, the nature that comes through us, and that's where the link to God is so important, because from the perspective of the first commandment, which is love God with all your heart, that's the first step to discovering who I really am. Because who I really am is a soul essence that's really nurtured through the light, through God, through this thing that pours through in infinitely when I listen. You know, I'm not so great at listening a lot of times, but the place of loving the self is really recognizing our soul nature. And that's what we love. That's the love. It's always perfect in a sense. The selfhood, the ego part of myself, is really not that great, you know? I mean, it's lacking in so many ways. And so the forgiveness that comes for that part of the imperfect life is restored through the self-love that is accessing that higher self, right? And so that's the touchstone for how do I love myself when my life is really kind of messed up and I haven't done what I thought I was going to do or would have liked to do. You know, disappointing myself is so difficult to overcome. So the self-love has to really focus on this higher nature that's constantly restored through the relationship to God, which takes precedent.
Okay. Sure, one peanut.
I just thought of this now. I'm not going to top like any. loving yourself to my way of thinking is what Louise said as well. But I was thinking that our life is a gift from God, and if we don't love that, it's a reflection on that gift. And I'm always thankful for that, no matter how cranky or how bad I've behaved. It is a gift, and I have to honor that, or I think God's feelings would be hurt. So that's it. I'm
Thank you, Barb. Donnie, do you want to say something, Lisa? Okay.
There was two things that my father taught me, which were very important, and that goes along with the same thought here. And the number one thing that he taught me is to treat people the way you want to be treated. And if you simply treat another person the way you want to be treated, it couldn't get any simpler than that. The simplicity is so, it's just right there. It's in front of us. The other thing he taught me is that a man is only as good as his word. And it shows everything about you. It's who you are. And there was a someone that was very spiritual that I met had given me some advice. And he said, it's okay to look back, but don't stare. And if you think about it, it means a lot. So it's don't stare at your past. It's okay to think about, because nobody goes through this world unscathed, whether it be physical, psychological, or whatever it may be. We all get hit with something at some degree. And it's to just have to, don't stare at it. Just kind of let it go and just live.
Move on. Very good. Thank you, Tony. There are a lot of insights. And the beauty of this whole thing is that, you see, if you listen to what everybody is saying, isn't it true that it resonates with a lot of our own thoughts? Because the story, even though the story is very, very simple, it becomes very, very complex in each of our lives. And, you know, we could sit and go through our lives and see all the things that were right and all the things that were good and all the things that we feel really positive about, and then stack up all the things that were not good and all the bad things that happened and the tragedies and the situations. And depending on how you're looking at your life, you can see that one far outweighs the other. And most times, it's the loser part that gets it. And unfortunately, because of some of the things that we have been taught in our religious understanding of God, we look to God constantly for forgiveness for all the things that are wrong. And if you're anything like I am, those things weigh and they come through consciousness more frequently than the delights. And I've been trying to work on switching that pattern in my own life, because I don't think that's who really God is. If you look at what Jesus revealed by his presence, One of the things that he said very, very importantly in this gospel, the backdrop, Sadducees and the Pharisees were the head of the church. They were the religious determination of Jesus' time. And he silenced both of them. And he said something very simple. What you have to be most concerned about are not the Ten Commandments, which is what the Pharisees were talking about, and not the rest of the laws that had been delineated up to that point, or even up to today. It's not the delineation of the law. One thing is important, and only one thing. And go beyond the words, and what God and Jesus is talking about is, you must live in relationship to the world you touch. You have to have a relationship with the world you touch. If you're ever going to get to God, if you're ever going to do anything positive or good, you need to be in relationship with the world you touch. That means the earth, which we kind of have lost sight of, but Native Americans certainly bring that to our consciousness. The earth, the resources that we have, as well as the human and the animal world around us. We need to have a relationship with all of it, because unless we have a full compounded relationship with the reality of the world God has given us, we can't know who God is. Duns Scotus, who was a very famous Franciscan philosopher, Duns Scotus many centuries ago was really castigated in his philosophical and theological discussion of life, because he suggested that just this, that unless you have a bond with the universe around you, God is going to remain elusive. God will, unless that happens, God will become a thought or some action that will define our relationship with God. Are you doing what you're supposed to do and more? And do you really understand who God is? And isn't that what we've done? We've lost touch, not us. We were taught this way. But the reality is so much bigger. And if you listen to what Jesus is saying in the gospel this morning, it's all about relationship. You can't have a love for God if you don't have a love with the people around you and the world around you. It's not just the people. It's the whole of reality. And interestingly, if you follow that thinking, that way of looking at things, the more you are in touch with the reality around you, the more you discover who you really are. Because all those facets of reality, all those things around us every day, call upon us and challenge us and tug us to understand even more, to go outside of ourselves and embrace something beyond ourselves. And in that embracing, we become more of who God really intended us to be. So in our Western thinking, and our Western theological understanding of the Gospels, we've lost touch with something very, very fundamental that Jesus had his finger on. We have to have, however we can do it, a relationship. That means an understanding, participation in, emotional bonding to, and somehow an expression of the world that surrounds us. We do that with our friends. We accomplish that with our family members. Sad thing is, sometimes it doesn't extend beyond that. And so we live in a duality world where there are those we know and those we don't. Those we like and those we don't. There's a separation. There's this and that. It's not about this and that. It's about all one. That's a hard concept. But I think that's what's underneath this gospel. It's just a thought, and thank you, because all the things you said were very, very pertinent, very true, and very understandable about this, and you can begin to see how if you plug all that together, we really do have a better sense of God, because we have a better sense of ourselves.